Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Eileen Kochler is a German-Turkish screenwriter from Saarland. She is a graduate of the HFF Munich and won the first Storytellers competition of RTL Plus in 2021 with Hübsches Gesicht. The miniseries was awarded the Juliane Bartel Media Prize for screenplays and nominated for the Grimme Prize. She worked as a fixer on the ESPN documentary Lands by Emmy Award winner Marina Zenovic, which premiered at the 2020 Sundance Film Festival and was named on Forbes' 30 Under 30 list in 2022. Most recently, Eileen was a staff writer in various writers' rooms, including the German adaptation of the comedy series Ghosts. She's been performing stand-up comedy in LA, New York, and Germany since 2018. We talked to Eileen via video call for this interview. Eileen, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Hi, so excited to talk to you. I'm always excited to talk to you.
Always excited to talk to you too. And it's so lovely to have you here with us today. Again, this time for a different format. Your latest writing project, the German adaptation of Ghosts, will be on TV screens in 2025, if I'm correct?
Yes, it will be. But I have to preface this by saying I was just a staff writer on the project, so a very tiny part of the German Ghost adaptation. I think that's important to point out because the whole format is about paying tribute to the people that came before you and also haunting the ones that came after you. Just kidding.
Very good. Talking about what came before, can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a writer?
So I was the first woman in my family that got to decide whether she wanted to go to university or not. And the short version is I cannot handle seeing blood. So had to be film school instead of medical school. And then because I can also not handle seeing fake blood, it had to be comedy instead of splatter. So that's the short version. And then I went to film school, but that's a whole other story. But I was at film school for producing. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I wanted to stick to writing, and my very dear friend, Ferdosilila Simon, and I, we got a travel grant to go to LA. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. We went there for a filmmaking course at NYFA in Burbank, and we were so broke at the time. Being very honest here, but we were so broke that our apartments were close to the Burbank lot, the Oakwood Apartments. Theros had this idea what we could do. Like, we spent 2 months in LA in a studio apartment. And we're like, okay, what can we do that doesn't cost a lot of money? And there were all those opportunities to just be a clapper. So we went to all those shows and just went in and saw the whole behind the scenes. And then she was like, okay, we can also go to comedy shows. So at nighttime, we ended up at all those clubs. Mm-hmm. Club Factory was the first one in Comedy Store. And I don't know what it is that I have on me, but no matter where we were, I did not heckle. I did not provoke anything, but I got roasted a lot just randomly by like Mosh Kasher and also Nikki Glaser addressed us and stuff like that. It just kept happening. And at some point, I basically talked back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Fanus was like, oh my gosh, you should try stand up. And I did not know how to do that. So, went back to Germany. I was just like doing this Judd Apatow masterclass and then started to write comedy for myself. And I went back to LA and I started with stand up. And then Ferdos moved to New York and I visited her and we both did stand up in New York. Then I did a couple of gigs in Munich and then the pandemic hit and I did not know how to do comedy. I did those online open mics, but it was like very hard to do that. And I started to write long form and had the opportunity to send something in because a very famous Martin from Constantin Film was the first person to ever offer me to send him something. Like, okay. He was the first producer who actually believed in me. I always say that because he just read my script and gave me my very first opportunity to be a paid writer and changed my life. I'm so grateful for that because I don't know, I had all those odd jobs and weird jobs and was doing internships and stuff like that a lot. And I think everyone that I know is really relieved that the writing career is like working for me because I'm like so bad at everything else.
How do you choose your stories, or how do you commit to a project? I know that those are two questions, actually, because obviously, if it's your own story, I would assume it's a different decision-making process than when you commit to like a staff writer's project.
Yes. So with my own project, it's basically when the idea doesn't let me sleep at night, just popping up, or when I'm working on something else, I cannot stop thinking about my own project. Then I know, okay, there's something in there that's really like calling me, and I have to get to the core of it. And with projects that I work on as a staff writer, it's really different. So at the beginning, of course, you just want to get your feet wet, and mm-hmm. you just want to really gain knowledge and gather experiences and also get to know the people in the industry. So I was working in so many writers from the first couple of years. Like I just did my first show was an original show, and I thought, because I went to film school for producing and not for writing, I really need to like take a step back and learn it from mm-hmm. scratch again. And I think it helped a lot to keep that beginner mindset and not to say, okay, I had this one original show, so I'm just going to keep selling my own shows. I really wanted to learn, and I did that. And I went to so many amazing projects that, like, I don't know, I think it really shaped me the mm-hmm. past 2 years. And I did regret some of the people I said yes to. I regretted some of the yeses.
We all.
Yeah, but I've never regretted saying no so far. So I feel like every project that I passed on, I mean, some of them were successful or were great, but I never had the feeling that I'm missing out on something. So mm-hmm. I can really say that I trust my intuition by now, that the projects I'm working on are the right ones for me at this very particular time in my career to mm-hmm. become a better writer, because I'm still a rookie, and especially in comedy, I'm like very, very at the beginning.
And talking about comedy, because it's the season focus, what do you like about the genre? Well, I mean, in addition to it not being about blood and gore.
I love about comedy that it doesn't take itself that seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make a comedy and say, okay, I hope it reaches a massive audience, of course. Like, it's for everyone. It's supposed to be something that everyone can enjoy if they want to. But I have not met a comedy writer who says this is going to be funny to everyone. So you make it open to everyone, but it's not, it doesn't have the need to be liked by everyone. That's one thing I really love about comedy. It's a little bit like people justify doing something stupid or dangerous by saying, do it for the plot. And I feel it's the same with comedy, like just in the way that it's backwards. So if a comedy writer experiences something weird or dangerous, we can say, oh, great, this is for my next plot. Mm-hmm. So I really also love this just for life itself.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, I think often, at least that's my experience, I don't know, maybe yours is different, but I feel like comedy is often sort of poo-pooed as, oh, it's the easy genre, like you said, because it's supposedly for everyone. But I think it's actually quite hard to find the right tone and humor for the projects, because especially humor is quite specific, country specific, sometimes even region specific or group specific. And when you're writing, how hard is it for you to keep the balance between such a specificity and a universality to like open it up for a lot of people?
It is hard. It's so hard. And as I said, I'm like really at the beginning, and I'm learning a lot as I'm going. I'm also not just working on comedy projects anymore. I'm like in drama rooms and romance rooms. And I did like a sci-fi project.
Wow.
Of course, just like young adult. And also Ghost was fantastic. So I'm like fantasy, basically. I feel like everything informs me to become better at comedy, just because you have to start at a point where the story is universal enough that it's relatable, so that it finds its audience. Mm. But then you hit them with the punchlines if it's very specific. So when people, I think that just my point of view on this, or my take on this, if you see something that you can relate to, you are more drawn into the story and you want to watch it. But then you don't want to see what you've already mm-hmm. watched or what you already know from your own life, then you want to be surprised or also just like shocked at someone. And all of this can be comedic relief to you as the audience. When you already relate to the story, you don't have to think too hard about stuff. Like you don't have to, I don't know, do like a crime thing where you have to put one on one together. You can just like really let go. Like the moment the punchline hits you, ideally you just have fun and you can just let go. And I think that's something I'm working towards, nailing that with your project. I hope that people find themselves in there, but also that I can still surprise them mm-hmm. with the punchlines and also like hopefully with some wholesome moments. That's what.
And you mentioned, or we both mentioned, that you do stand up and do sets. How does that influence your writing style? I mean, does that go both ways, or do you draw more for stand up for your comedy or script writing?
It does influence me a lot. Doing stand up was actually, you start with 3 minutes, mm-hmm. 3 to 5 minutes, and you are so grateful for every minute that you get. I'm so grateful. And when a producer comes around and just gives you those 45 pages, it almost feels illegal to have that kind of space. So I saw something very weird happen in many writers' rooms, that it's in some rooms, people are always over the page count that they are supposed to hand in for the first draft. And I never have that issue. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm smart enough to already edit it. You know, the first draft should always be like a warm-up draft where you just write, and don't edit. So it comes out like naturally. And then you go back and you edit it in the second and third and fourth. But no, in this case, I feel like my brain is already like so grateful for every minute I get on the page now, mm-hmm. That it's editing without me consciously knowing that I'm already editing. So I've never had the issue so far to be over the page count with wow. any of those projects.
Yeah, so. That is very unusual.
Yeah, but also I have to say, stand-up really helps you doing comedy as a comedy writer in the long form format, because it takes years until something comes out, if it comes out. And when you do stand up, you can actually test topics. If it's your own work, you should not do this if you're a stand up writer. But if it's your own topic, like you can go out and just test topics. And I had people come up to me and say, oh, this was so interesting, I'd like to hear more than those 3 minutes. Or people were like, oh, this was like not funny, but interesting.
Oh, don't love interesting.
Yeah, the bar is on hell, right? But yeah, and I feel like I'm so much funnier on stage mm-hmm. when it's live than I am on page. It was really bothering me in the beginning because I felt like, okay, I have to get better at communicating what I see in a scene mm-hmm. on page. And I feel like in stand-up, you just have more. Yeah, you have more control over the punchlines, for example. Mm-hmm. But it's an issue that I'm working on, that I try to make it more universal also on the page, so that we share a vision right when the reader, whoever that is, reads a page, sees what I see in there. Yeah, and also like I know that you shouldn't be too hard on yourself in the beginning, but you always are. But with stand-up, it's the case, you know, you go somewhere and you bomb. And in the same night, you can still go to another open mic across the town, if you're in LA, for example, or New York. And then you can just make up for it in the same night. Yeah. Or you say, okay, nobody will ever see that again or see me again. Maybe. Worst case, never see me again because I quit comedy that night. No, just kidding. And I heard something or read something very, very great that really comforts me. Mm-hmm. And it's by Ira Glass, the American producer. And he said, I cannot quote him because it was such a long quote. But he basically says that every one of us creators got into this game because we have good taste. But we cannot like judge our work mm-hmm. when it's not there yet. So there's a gap between the taste that we have and the work we're doing. Mm-hmm. And with everything that you do, like the more work you put in it, the more you will be able to close that gap between the talent and the ambition. And I really love that way of thinking because it comforts me and tells me, okay, I try my best at this point of my work career.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to be closer and closer to the people that I look up to and mm-hmm. to the comedy that I want to be putting out there into the world at some point.
Mm-hmm. Talking about writing and writing original stuff and adapting something, because you've done both. Do you have a preference? Do you find one easier than the other, or does it always just depend on the project?
I prefer writing an original script.
All right.
Yes, I can explain it. I think selling something based on an IP, just to adapt anything, is easier than selling your own vision. Mm-hmm. Because people, of course, there's like always budgets and money and jobs at stake. And so everyone really needs an assurance that this is going to work, or at least tries to find anything that will justify, even if it fails, why you took on that project. So I get that. But then in the development process, and I've really done it all, like not done it all. Okay, that sounds, I have this grand career, I don't. But I've worked on my original show and developed it. And I've worked on, I'm working on a novel adaptation. I've worked on this original, wonderful original from the British creators, which was basically also so special because in the UK, Ghosts was developed by the actors and actresses. They developed their own characters, which was great. I think the difference is once you are in the game and you can develop a show, if it's an adaptation, the real challenge is that everyone on this project already has an idea of what that project is. Mm-hmm. So it's way more difficult to convince somebody that a character should go in this direction or that direction when they already have one in mind because they made it up in their head because of reading an article or they've watched another country's version of it. But then if you have your original script, producers are more likely, and also commissioning editors, more likely to be convinced by you that you have the vision for it and you can actually like plan something that they had not in mind, and they are going into this with fresh eyes and just join the vision, and it becomes this whole new vision that you've created together. And I feel like an adaptation always, or not always, but sometimes can feel like trying to find a compromise for everyone who had a strong belief how this should turn out in the end.
Yeah. Because you're also very versatile in what you watch and what you read, I was wondering if you can tell us maybe one or two of your favorite comedic scenes from a movie or a series. And yes, they can be from your own projects as well. And maybe give our listeners some insight why you think those scenes or that scene works particularly well.
I will not plug my own work. I think that's for others to judge if it's funny or not. It's not my favorite movie, but one of my favorite scenes, I think, because I laughed so hard when I first watched it. It's a 2015 movie, Vacation, with Ed Helms and Christina Applegate.
Have you watched that? Yes.
Okay, so there's this one scene for those who haven't watched it, and it gets me every time. It's this family road trip. They get to the Grand Canyon and want to do a water rafting tour. And there's this quirky tour guide, Charlie Day, and he is this parody of this tour guide that is always so positive that it makes everyone uncomfortable. And he is taking a call right before they get into the water by his fiance, and she breaks up with him. And he's just like losing it right in front of the family and just throws his phone into the water. But he insists on getting onto this tour. And then it's just this wonderful romantic song playing, and Kelly, when living is without you, and he's just like throwing the paddle into the water and holding his head underwater and choosing like the rough part and not the nice part. And it's so well done. It's like, you know, there's the camera, the actors, the actresses, the whole setup and how it, you know, unfolds is so amazing, because just seeing him suffer and trying to end it all while his family is fighting for their life. It's just, I don't know. Sorry, I'm just like telling this to myself and laughing a lot. Oh, nobody can relate until they've watched it. But it's, I think it's on YouTube probably. It's such a great scene and really like an amazing sequence to show how you can actually have one character that's, it doesn't play any role in this whole movie, but just really, really nails the comedy.
I will definitely have to check that out. I mean, I know of the film and I think I've seen bits and pieces, but I didn't see that one. Writing is a very solitary job. And also, it takes a long time, as you mentioned earlier. And as we all know, for a feature film or a series, it can take up to several years. Some might not even see the light of day. How hard is it for you to say goodbye to the characters and their stories when you spend so much time with them? Is it easier for staff jobs than for original ones? Or how do you usually go through that process? Or are you ready to like, yeah, go away. I'm done.
I'm so good at goodbyes. Just ask my enemies and exes. No, it's really
it's not that for you.
I know. It's shocking how good I'm at goodbyes. Because I feel like you cannot change anything anymore once it's out there. And it's just a process. I feel like while I'm writing, I try to tap into every emotion I have, every feeling, just like give it my all. Mm. So I hope that the feelings that I have while writing something translates onto the page and then onto the audience eventually, hopefully. But then once it's out there, I try to be dead inside. I read comments, I read reviews.
Talk about them.
So that's a difference I make there. Because I feel like sometimes in reviews, like they're totally right. I own it. This is something about me in comedy. I own it when it doesn't work. I say, okay, this is my fault. Or if it's not my fault, sometimes it happens. I can say, but I know why this doesn't work. And maybe I should have done this or that. I can totally own that and I can learn from that, but without, you know, beating myself up for it. Mm-hmm. And when I read reviews, sometimes there are things in there that actually help me on the next project.
Okay.
Please, if anyone is listening who's trying to roast me for my next project, be nice.
Okay.
That. Also, subreddit. Oh my God, subreddits are brutal. I feel like if you really like read stuff like that, you can totally be obsessed with like nailing it next time or something. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, okay, no, I'm a beginner. I have the beginner mindset and I will always have that because I love learning. Mm-hmm. I take so many writing classes and stuff like that. So I feel like it's all a process. I'm always a work in progress and so is everyone else. And that's okay. So I'm not dwelling on mistakes too long. I just don't like when you're judged by your worst work and not by your best work. But I mean, that happens as well. Yeah.
Well, plus, I think also it's important for audience members, everybody listening, please. It's not like people intentionally write quote unquote bad scenes or, you know, characters that don't work. There's usually a reason behind this. If it doesn't work, but like you said, I mean, cut the people some slack. They spent a lot of time, blood and tears. Well, hopefully not blood, but probably tears.
I cannot watch that. Please don't.
On entertaining you. So take what resonates and leave the rest.
Exactly.
I have a few, well, possibly rapid fire questions now at the end. Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle or maybe are tackling right now?
Yes, too many. Next.
Okay, not the answer I was looking for, but okay.
No. One thing I can say, I try to hold on to my family stories and wanted to become a better writer before I tackle those. And I feel like now I'm ready. I know that always sounds like I had such, you know, like decades of career. It's just been 2 years since Pretty Face, but yeah, it's enough to feel confident to tackle some of those topics that are really fun to develop for myself. Yeah.
What, in your opinion, is the biggest misconception about the work of a scriptwriter from people outside of the industry?
I would say that people could assume that everything that we write is going to end up on screen the way that we wrote it. Yeah, sometimes when I do have conversations with people that have nothing to do with the industry, they say like, why did you write this? And I'm like, oh, I did not. But
what happened was
no, again, I own it, even if it's not my I own it. Yeah, so I feel like people think it's a thing that we can control, but it's really, I always tell that people, it's a group project and everyone is making it better, hopefully, eventually. And sometimes the best ideas come from people who are not even like close to a final draft ever. it's also true. And actors and actresses love when they like really keep developing the character right after, like, you know, like after the whole writer's room, they just level it up. And I think just writing is like a telephone game, you know, Stille Post. I put something in there in the beginning and then at the end, I don't know, it went through so many ears and mouths that I'm sometimes as surprised what comes out as the audience.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's okay. That's the job.
That's true. And finally, can you share which project you are or will be working on next? As something, anything, give us anything.
So unfortunately, Ghost is the only thing that I can actually talk about in public.
Well, okay, but can you tell us if there's a series or a film, or is it comedy or drama or romance? Maybe we can keep it very, very general.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm working in the romance genre.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be epic. That's all I can say on that. I'm basically just running around from comedy to romance to drama. That's the niche I feel comfortable in. But just to have a call back to the beginning, if there's somebody out there with medical dramas, you can also like hire me as a consultant and you just pitch me your episode.
Watch Blood in the Show until people faint.
Exactly. When I faint, you have something in there. No. So I'm just like feeling very confident right now in the romance genre.
And that was it. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Aline. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.